Chapter 11. Darcy. Ting-a-ling-a-ling. I rolled over with a wide yawn, reaching for my atlas with a sleepy smile. Birds were singing beyond the window. The bed seemed to hug every inch of my body, and the morning was calling to me. I clicked on my horoscope with fascination. My last two had been damn accurate, and this time, I wanted to try and look out for the warning signs. If they could help me avoid another run-in with the heirs, then I had to try and read between the lines. Good morning, Gemini. The stars have spoken about your day. With the world falling into chaos around you, you will have to remain vigilant and let the steady path of the sun keep you grounded. It may seem like a lot to take in, but you're doing better than you think. Be wary of those around you. Even the friendliest of dogs can bite. I read it over a couple of times, then checked my timetable. I had order enhancement with the werewolves today. One guess who I needed to be concerned about biting me. I got out of bed, taking a shower and dressing in my uniform for the day. When I returned to my bedroom, a clamor of voices and pounding footsteps carried from out in the tower. I slung my satchel over my shoulder, then caught sight of the sketches I'd done last night on my desk. They were just of the grounds and buildings in Zodiac, but I was always overly self-conscious about my art. Even I felt uncomfortable looking at them. I stuffed them in a drawer and headed out of my room, locking it quickly before walking onto the stairway. Students were running about, many looking tense, others chattering excitedly. They were all heading downstairs, as if they'd just departed from something important in the common room. Curiosity got the better of me, and I headed up, despite the fact that I always avoided hanging out up there. Since the photo of me looking like I'd lost an argument with a sewer had gone viral, I was trying to make myself as invisible as possible to the four walking six-packs who ran this school, but I didn't want to hide forever. When I arrived in the circular room of gray stone, filled with cream couches and armchairs, my eyes fell on a large screen on one wall. A news reporter with long dark hair was relaying an event which had happened yesterday evening in a town called Tucana. The body was discovered by a student at Zodiac Academy, whose name is being kept anonymous. Just this morning, the head of the Fae Investigation Bureau has confirmed that the culprit of the murder was a nymph who is currently still at large. The residents of Tucana should be extra vigilant during dark hours and report any sightings of the creature to the FIB. The Fae who was killed has been named as Ferris Pike and held two elements, fire and earth. The television went blank and I frowned, my heart hammering as Seth stood up from the ring of chairs before it. Kylie jumped up beside him as he tossed the remote on his seat. He had a taut look on his face, and as Kylie tried to take his hand, he shook her off. He jogged through the room, barely sparing me a glance, as he disappeared out into the stairwell with intention in his stride. Kylie tossed her sunbeam hair over her shoulder, moving to join a couple of the girls from Air.
Who cares about some old dead man anyway?
She moaned to her friend, looking open a compact to check her doll-faced reflection. Someone touched my arm, and I jolted back to my own space, turning to find Diego there. He gave me a terse smile.
Did you hear?
He asked. Yes, but... I bit my lip guiltily. What's a nymph? He blew out a breath of laughter, glancing over my shoulder at Kylie and her gang of preening Barbies, before drawing me toward the exit. He didn't answer until we were walking down the stairs, away from prying ears.
Nymphs are another race. They live in the shadows of Fae. They're our enemies.
Why? I whispered, sensing this conversation needed a quiet voice.
Because.
He glanced over his shoulder, then linked his arm through mine to draw me nearer.
Nymphs aren't born with elemental powers, but if they kill a Fae, they absorb all of their magic. Every last drop, and then they can use it against us.
His eyes glowed at me, unblinking as he delivered this news. I didn't have the words, so I just shook my head.
Yeah,
he nodded.
Sick, and it means the nymphs are always a danger. They hunger for magic even more than a vampire does. And do you know how they take it?
My mouth became parched as I shook my head.
They have the gift of the shadows, able to drain a Fae of its power. They do it using these probes. Their fingernails grow all long and drive right into the hearts of Fae and suck out all of their power. Diego seemed to have a morbid fascination with the idea of it, but it just made me sick to the stomach. That woman on the news said a student found the body, I said in horror. Diego nodded slowly.
Yeah, they won't say who, though. My guess is they're having their memory removed right about now. Who could forget a sight like that, you know? It would totally mess you up.
Memory removal is a thing? I hissed, my chest tightening at the idea. Diego glanced around again, lowering his voice even further.
Not exactly. It's advanced coercion, forcing the Fae to forget. It's completely illegal. But there's a lot of conspiracy theories about the FIB, which say they do it on the sly.
And you believe them? I guessed. He grinned at me.
If you knew the dodgy stuff that went on in law enforcement, you'd believe it too. And not just the FIB, Darcy. This very school. There's even rumors about some of the faculty practicing dark magic on the sly.
My mind spun as we stepped out of the tower and the sun shone down on us, the air cool and the clouds sparse.
Have you got tarot this morning?
Diego asked, changing the subject as we made our way to the orb for breakfast. I nodded, my gaze snagging on Seth up ahead. His band of followers were around him, brushing their hands over his back and nuzzling him. What was with the nuzzling? But he barely responded. As we arrived at the orb, he headed away from them, making a beeline for Darius, Max, and Caleb, who were already on their usual couch, surrounded by a ring of excited fans who were running back and forth from the canteen to bring them food and coffee. The heirs barely took any notice of them, the four of them falling into a tense conversation the second Seth joined them.
Darcy?
Diego nudged me, and I dragged my gaze away from them.
You coming?
He pointed over at our new spot at the heart of the room. Geraldine had laid a wide spread of food across the circular table, which looked fit for King Arthur and his knights. I fought a groan at the sight of the almighty sovereign society gathered there. Tori was actively trying to avoid a conversation with them by engaging Sophia in never-ending chit-chat. I nodded, following Diego over to join them, and the guy sitting beside Tori leapt out of his seat and bowed low.
I kept it warm for you, Your Majesty.
Right, thanks, I said, smiling as I tried to hide my discomfort at his display. Geraldine swooped on me before my ass touched the chair.
The croissants were going cold, so I had another batch sent from the kitchen.
She wafted a mound of them under my nose, and the sweet, mouth-watering scent was too good to pass up. I took one with a word of thanks, and Geraldine hurried around to her seat opposite my sister and I. Diego had forced a chair in beside Sophia, but his shoulder was firmly squashed up a brutish girl in the ass who seemed intent on remaining where she was. He stole a croissant from Geraldine's stash while she was talking to a girl beside her in hushed whispers.
Did you hear about the nymph attack? Sophia asked, her eyes bulging as she leaned forward to look at me across the table.
Yeah, I said, glancing at Tori.
And have you noticed how weird the heirs are acting this morning?
Everyone's upset, Sophia said.
Tori glanced over her shoulder at the four guys, her brows pulling together.
No, Darcy's right. Something is going on with them.
They're heirs,
Diego said through a mouthful of croissant.
They have to take an interest in nymph murders. It's their job, or at least it will be when they rule.
Sophia sounded her agreement, and I nodded, figuring that made sense, but wondering if that meant Tori and I would be expected to take an interest in them too. The tension in the room was at an all-time high as people discussed the mystery student who discovered the body. The girl Geraldine was speaking to seemed to be getting herself in a complete state over the attack.
It's happening all over again, just like...
Shh!
Geraldine hissed, casting a look at us. She forced a laugh when I caught her eye, then snatched her friend's arm and dragged her away from the table.
What was that about?
Tori asked me, and I shook my head in confusion.
Hey, Vegas!
We both looked up, and I spotted the fire asshole with the unibrow, Milton Hubert, standing on a table surrounded by a group of students, gazing at him excitedly.
Make out with each other!
His coercion slammed into me, and I shrieked in horror as Tori and I angled toward each other. Diego sprang from his chair, forcing himself between us before we even got close to committing the vile act.
For the queens!
Geraldine sprang out of the crowd, launching herself onto a chair and propelled a rocket of water at Milton so quickly, he wasn't remotely ready for the impact. He flew halfway across the room and slammed into a group of freshmen, taking several of them to the floor. The coercion ebbed out of my body as laughter rang through the room. I shuddered, pulling back from Diego. We've got to stop this from happening. I groaned as Tori fixed Milton with a death glare as he walked sullenly back to his friends, dripping wet. The heirs had barely looked up to acknowledge the drama, still stuck in an intense-looking discussion.
I'll teach you to shield yourselves, Sophia piped up, her eyes shining. We'll start tonight and spend every moment we can until you've got it.
Thank you, Tori sighed, and I smiled gratefully at her. Well, that was something. By the time we headed to tarot class in Mercury Chambers, my heart was still pounding with all the adrenaline of the morning. It was only a short walk from the orb, and we soon arrived at the ancient-looking building with high walls that were painted with strange murals. One appeared to be a man hanging from a tree, another a jester. We headed into the gloomy interior with faded stone walls, the low lighting giving the place a creepy feeling. A dark stairway led down to another floor, and a silver sign directed us that way toward tarot.
My grandma was a tarot reader, Sophia said as we followed the other freshmen down the steep staircase. She taught me about the cards, but I was never that good at it.
What are you good at?
Kylie asked as she shoulder-barged past her, tossing her hair back to slap Sophia in the face. Tori scowled at the back of Kylie's head as Sophia dipped her head, her cheeks reddening. Diego rested a hand on her back, and she glanced at him with a small smile. I glared after Kylie in anger. Bitch.
In you come.
A hoarse voice called from up ahead. A hazy purple light guided us forward, and we soon arrived in a vast room that resembled a cellar. A circular wooden table filled nearly the entire space, and the center of it was completely hollow. Within the ring the table created was a tall man with a long gray mustache which hung right down over his chin. His almond eyes swiftly landed on us, and a glimmer in his gaze told me he knew exactly who we were. But then again, who didn't?
Take a seat,
he instructed as we filed around the edges of the table and the four of us dropped down to sit together.
I'm Professor Astrum, and today I'll be giving you an introduction to tarot, the telling of fates through the mystical cards of the stars.
He reached into the pocket of his tweed blazer and produced a deck, fanning them out between his fingers with perfect skill. He threw them into the air, waving his hand so they spread out in a wide circle around him on a mystical wind, the images facing the class. They started spinning in a slow circle, and I gazed across each of the cards in fascination. The professor spent the first half of the lesson naming each of the 21 cards and describing their meanings. I had my atlas propped up on my desk, and my notes sprawled around each of the cards' images, enthralled by everything I was learning. Sophia knew them all by heart, and Astrum called on her more than once to explain the meanings behind each card. She might have thought she sucked at this, but it seemed like she was an expert to me. My mind was boggling by the time he finally let us do a prediction, and I couldn't remember which card meant what beyond a few of them. Astrum passed out decks and split us into pairs. I turned to Tori and she shuffled our deck and laid them in a fan between us as the professor had instructed.
That's it. Now, one of you pick a card and interpret it using your notes, Astrum said, twirling one end of his mustache around his finger.
Do you want to go first? Tori asked, and I shrugged, slowly moving my hand above the cards as the professor had taught us. When I felt an instinctive tingle in my fingers, I plucked up the card I'd paused above. I turned it over, and Tori leaned in close as we gazed at it. The High Priestess. She was sitting in a golden throne, her body clad in blue robes with a veil over her face. What does that one mean? I asked, thumbing through the notes on my atlas.
It means...
Tori scrolled through her own notes. Sophia pressed against my shoulder, leaning over to look at my card. She gasped sharply as I turned to her in alarm.
What?
I demanded. She shook her head apologetically, plucking the card from my hand. This means someone's being dishonest with you or withholding information.
She turned the card over, then grabbed my hand, placing it flat against the back of it.
What do you feel?
She whispered, her tone making goosebumps rise on the back of my neck. I looked to Tori, who was trying not to laugh.
What do you mean, Sophia?
I hissed, trying to pull my hand away, but she was weirdly strong for a beanpole. Several other students were turning to watch, and my cheeks flushed with heat. I glanced at Diego for help, but he was gazing glumly at his own card, death.
Shut your eyes and feel it, Sophia pressed. Sometimes the cards can give you a sense of who they're referring to.
I shut my eyes and heard Tori cluck her tongue with disbelief. But I had to have an open mind. With my horoscope seeming more accurate every day, how could I deny that this was possible too? I focused on the card, the back of it cool against my heated palm. Light danced at the edges of my vision, and the noise in the room suddenly fell away. Strange whispers replaced the sound of my classmates, but I couldn't catch anything they were saying. My blood turned icily cold as I got the strangest feeling I was being watched. It was like yesterday in the Wailing Wood. Eyes on me, darkness pressing in. Then fire licked at my feet and closed in all around. Burning, burning, burning.
Darcy!
Tori shook me and my eyes flew open. She gazed at me in alarm, and I found my mouth desperately dry and sweat beating on my brow. The room had fallen quiet, and all eyes were on me. Professor Astrum drew closer.
Did the card show you something, Miss Vega?
His gaze was hopeful. I nodded, then shook my head, because it hadn't. Not really. It was more of a feeling, I shuddered, rubbing my fingers together as warm air tickled my palms.
What feeling? Sophia asked, her tone dramatic.
Just the feeling of being watched, and then there was fire. I didn't like the attention of the whole room on me, and I saw Kylie lean in to her dark-haired friend Jillian beside her, cupping her mouth with her hand as she whispered something. They both fell into silent giggles, and my neck grew hot with irritation. Astrum frowned, directing the other students to get back to work. I was relieved when they all returned to talking with each other, and Astrum stepped closer, eyeing my card.
May I hold your hand a moment, Miss Vega?
He reached out, his fingers long and spindly. I hesitantly took his palm, and his eyes fell blank and his shoulders slumped. The cool clamp of his hand was iron tight, and I didn't think I'd be able to pull mine free if I tried. Astrum gasped, releasing me as he stumbled back with a look of horror on his face.
What is it? I demanded, not liking how pale he suddenly looked.
He cleared his throat, brushing down his dark robes. He dropped his voice to a deadly whisper, leaning closer.
Beware of your enemies, girl. They are made of fire and shadow.
He turned away, moving to help another pair of students, while I was left to stew on what he'd said.
This is all bullshit, Tori said, elbowing me.
Don't look so freaked out, Darcy.
How can you say that? I sighed. After everything we know to be true now.
I loved Tori, but she was too cynical for her own good sometimes. We were in a classroom for magical lessons, on the grounds of an academy in a world of fae, and she'd shot magic at one of Darius's cronies just yesterday. But she was still intent on denying the possibility that horoscopes, tarot, and any magic beyond the physical could exist too.
It's fairy tales, she said, but she didn't seem as convinced this time. I can see the fire in my hand, but this is just a card, which can be interpreted any way anyone wants to.
What about the vision I just had? Are you denying that happened too? I arched a brow, and she frowned an apology.
Of course not. Are you all right?
Tori asked more gently, and I nodded. Just freaked me out a bit, I murmured, burying the sensation deep inside me. I lay the deck out before her with a grin pulling at my mouth.
All right, your turn. Let's see if this can make you a believer.
She beamed with the challenge, holding her hand above them as Astrum had taught us. A moment later, she picked out a card and turned it over. The High Priestess glared up at us,
and my heart jolted at the sight. I'm going to do it again. Tori immediately shoved the card back into the deck, shuffled it several times, then laid them out once more. My throat constricted as I watched her run her hands across the pile, then pluck out the card on the far left. She flipped it over, and the High Priestess stared back at us. Tori shuddered, placing it down on the desk and pushing it away from her. "So someone's lying to us," I whispered, and Tori nodded, belief filling her eyes as she finally bought into the art of tarot. Tori and I headed toward the Howling Meadow, following the directions on my atlas to our Werewolf Order enhancement class. Sophia headed off to join the Pegasus group, and Diego had been sent to the Griffins to see if they could bring out his own order. As we wound through the path in air territory, the scent of the sea washed over us, and the crash of waves beyond the eastern cliff soothed my anxiety. The tarot class had creeped me out, but now I was out of the cold room with the sun shining down on my back, it didn't seem so frightening. More than half the students in Zodiac were probably withholding crap from us, especially the heirs, who didn't want us anywhere near their precious throne. As we cut through a corner of the Wailing Wood, we stepped out into the sprawling meadow where we'd had our awakening. Yellow and purple flowers swayed in a gentle breeze, the grass almost up to our knees as we carved a path through it to where a large group of around 150 students were gathered. Many of them were howling, bouncing up and down on their heels, some tussling in the grass. "I don't know why we have to do this," Tori said, pursing her lips. "I know I'm not a dog." I nodded in total agreement. "I am not like Seth." "Right!" The professor barked loudly from the center of the group. The students ringed around her, some jogging on the spot in anticipation. We hurried to join the group, and the professor beckoned us forward. She had a long black ponytail and a wide smile on her face. She caught us both by the arm, tugging us toward her, her hands immediately sliding into our hair. "These are our new pups. Take good care of them. They're trying to work out what order they are, so no shifting too close to them, no biting, no scratching, and no being an asshole, all right?" The class hollered and howled in answer, and I spotted Seth amongst them, eyeing us with a devilish expression that made my gut prickle. "I'm Professor Canis." She leaned in close to Tori, breathing in deeply. "Don't be shy," she said as Tori flinched away. "I'm not shy. You're just so far beyond my personal boundaries right now, I can't even see them anymore." She stepped back, and the professor laughed loudly, then pushed us forward to join the group. "Don't we have, like, a lesson plan or something?" I asked her, but she answered by pulling her shirt off. "What the actual crap?" "No plan," she said brightly, her neon pink bra all I could look at in that second. "Just run free!" Holy shit. Tori breathed as everyone around us started stripping. "What is happening?" My eyes traveled to Seth as he pulled his shirt over his head, and the sun gleamed on the hard muscles of his body. He looked like temptation embodied, with his ripped stomach and the sharp V which cut a path beneath his waistband. Warmth spread through my cheeks as over 100 students dropped their pants, and I shielded my eyes as I saw way too much of my classmates and professor. Seth's trousers were hanging open, riding lower over his hips as he cupped his hand around his mouth and started howling to the sky. Every single person in the valley but Tori and I joined the chorus, the noise a cacophony pounding into my skull. Seth tugged off his pants and boxers, turning away at the last second before we got an unwanted eyeful. Tori started laughing, and I looked at her, shaking my head as a bubble of laughter escaped me too. Seth started running down the hill, and 150 naked students sped after him. The air leapt forward in a sudden movement, and his whole body changed as he pounced. White hair spread across his skin, fluffy ears, a brush of a tail, and four huge paws hit the ground in his place. My mouth fell open, and my pulse quickened at the startling sight. Behind him, everyone was changing too, like a ripple effect, all of them turning into enormous wolves, twice the size of any normal beast. Fear and excitement battered my heart as I watched the incredible display. The huge mass started splitting off into packs, dividing across the meadow and darting into the trees at the verges. There were only a few white wolves amongst them, and Seth was the largest of all the animals, meaning I could keep my eye on him the entire time. He led a group of nine along the edge of the wailing wood, moving like the wind as he circled around, his ears flattened to his head. The ground shook as all 10 of the massive beasts bounded our way, led by the pure white beast at the front of them. Tori and I backed up, and my hands raised on instinct as I willed power into them, but Seth came to a halt before I needed to even attempt to defend myself. He released a soft whine, moving forward, eye to eye with me with his massive size. He bumped his wet nose against my cheek, then did the same to Tori. She tentatively reached out, brushing her fingers over his ears. He nuzzled into her so hard that she fell on her ass, and she laughed as I pulled her back up. In that moment, I pushed aside the fact he was an heir, too fascinated by his beautiful transformation and the inviting look in his wolfish eyes. The magic of this place and the students in it was just too wonderful to ignore, and I longed more than anything to know what my own order was. Seth suddenly dropped to the ground, turning his head as he gestured toward his back. "I think he wants us to get on," I said in alarm. Tori looked to me with a grin, and excitement tore through my body like wildfire. At least Seth can't talk in this form, so what the hell? I ran my hand down his velvet soft neck and swung a leg over his shoulders, not placing my weight down until I was sure this is what he meant. When he didn't react, I settled into place, wrapping my hands in his fur to try and get a good grip. Tori moved to get on behind me, but another black male dropped down next to Seth and barked at her in encouragement. She bit into her lip as she hurried over and clambered onto his back. "This is crazy," I laughed as Seth rose beneath me and my belly swooped. I clung on for dear life as his nose angled toward the trees far across the valley. He threw his head back, howling loud enough to make me wince, then lurched forward in a burst of speed. I cried out in alarm as the wind tore at my hair, and I nearly lost my grip on his silky smooth fur. I clamped my knees tighter around him, slipping back an inch as I clung on for dear life. Laughter burst from my throat, and I whooped as adrenaline bled through me. Seth bounded toward the wailing wood, charging into the trees down a long path. He immediately turned off of it into the thicker woodland, and I ducked my head in time to avoid the low-hanging branches. The crash of heavy paws sounded behind me, and I threw a look over my shoulder, spotting Tori grinning her head off as she clung to the wolf beneath her. A chorus of howls carried from more packs throughout the forest, and my heart raced as one of them charged across our path, making Seth swerve violently to the left. The trees whipped past me in a blur of green, and we were soon so deep in the forest, I didn't think I'd ever get out without the wolves' help. Seth finally slowed, padding down into a clearing where a large pool of shimmering water lay. It was surrounded by tall reeds and shaded by the low-hanging fronds of a willow. The sunlight fell in shafts over the beautiful spot, and dust and pollen spiraled within the golden rays. Seth padded straight into the pool, and I gasped as he sank deep into the icy water. I slid off of him, and he swam under the surface, disappearing into the depths. A moment later, he resurfaced in his human form, smirking at me.
"Do you like riding me?"
he asked suggestively. "I prefer you as a wolf." I splashed him, but a smile tugged at my lips. Several of the wolves dropped to the ground around the pool, rolling in the dust or resting in the shade. A few of them joined us in the water, changing back into their human forms and bearing all to the world. Seth's eyes followed a girl with curves to die for as she swam across the rippling pond. Tori dismounted from her ride, and the guy changed back right in front of her, making her bristle as he leaned in too close. She eyed the pool with concern, taking a measured step away from it, and my heart went out to her. She hated deep water, and even a bunch of handsy naked students weren't going to chase her in here. I moved to swim back to the shore, but Seth curled an arm around my waist, tugging me close. I surveyed the water droplets running down his chiseled face, unable to help tracing the angles of his cheeks as I debated whether to run away. His hair was a mane of damp hazel, and his eyes were penetratingly dark. I wanted to push him back, but something kept me in place as I fell captive to his animalistic aura.
There was something about him in that moment that made me feel like I was part of something. Maybe it was a pack thing, like he was always trying to bond, but at the same time, keeping me under his heel. Perhaps I was a werewolf after all. The stressed look I'd seen in his gaze this morning seemed to have dimmed, but he was clearly less on form today. Words rose to my lips, and I let them fall free as I hoped the softness I saw in his eyes now would stay a while longer. "You seemed upset this morning," I said, cocking a brow and his eyes narrowed.
"You been spying on me, babe?"
His muscular arm folded tighter around me, and he dragged me against his hip. "No," I whispered. It was plain to see. My knee brushed against his thigh, and a deep noise left his throat. He released a heavy breath.
"It's nothing to worry yourself with, Vega."
He released me, then splashed a wave at me in the same movement. "Bastard." I spluttered, lurching back as he swam away toward a huge rock jutting up from the middle of the pool. I headed back to shore, rejoining Tori, annoyed with myself that I tried to make some effort with him. "You okay?" I murmured, not wanting to draw attention to the fact Tori wouldn't go anywhere near the deep pond. I didn't want to give Wolf Boy any more ammo against her. She nodded, a smile etched into her cheeks that only I had the laser vision to see through.
"There's only one sure way to know if you're a wolf."
Seth's sharp tone sent a tremor through me. He stood up to his waist at the far edge of the pool, an inch away from giving the whole woodland a glimpse of his magic wand.
"What's that?"
Tori called, folding her arms.
"Both of you howl,"
he commanded, pointing to the sky. Tori and I shared a glance, and we both remained silent.
"Shut your eyes and howl with all your might,"
Seth commanded, but neither of us were ready to make a fool of ourselves like that. "Shall we dig holes and sniff each other's butts, too?" Seth shrugged when we didn't respond.
"Fine, don't bother. But howling can bring out the change, so it's up to you."
Seth turned and strode up the bank, his bare ass staring me in the face as he marched out of the water. Tori sighed.
"One howl."
Seth didn't answer. Tori cupped her hands around her mouth, and I mimicked her, gazing up at the wide blue sky beyond the treetops.
"Ah-woo!"
we called together. Some of the wolves joined in, and we continued on despite the fact it felt pretty ridiculous. I didn't sense anything wolfy happening to me, so I looked down at Seth, who was stood near the edge of the clearing.
"You're not wolves," he growled dismissively, "so you don't run with my pack."
He leapt toward the trees and morphed into his beautiful white form once again. My heart stuttered as the rest of the pack tore after him, those in human form shifting into wolves as they charged away into the forest, their pounding footfalls rumbling through the air. My mouth fell open, and my heart stuttered to a halt as they left us in the middle of the wailing wood, who knew how far away from the meadow.
"Asshole!"
Tori shouted after him as we gathered up our satchels. I retrieved my atlas, locating us on the map with a groan. "We're practically off campus."
"Great."
Tori sighed as she stalked off ahead of me into the trees.
"Just goddamn great."